Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our special guest, Vernon Mahabal, with us as we talk about palm reading. We're going to take your calls as well. Still standing by for Julian Assange to say something, too, about WikiLeaks. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Vernon is with us, Mahabal. Vernon, do you see a third world war based on what you do with palm reading?
I do. I do. And that's the main part of my worry. I do see an optimistic future, as you said before, but like I say, we're in that middle part of the hourglass, and if I see it, this is what's going to happen. Pakistan will attack India, and it'll bring the two superpowers together. I don't see it in Syria. I don't see it anywhere else. China will not get involved. They want to build. I don't see any. That's where I see it. If there is a war, it's going to last less than a week, but it could be devastating. It could absolutely be devastating. I do think America would win, but it will suffer heavy losses. India will probably be the greatest sufferer. It's going to be smashed. But that's my prediction for World War III. And of course, I hope it doesn't happen. But that's looking at all the astrology and everything I see in the hand, that's the big possibility. Pakistan will attack India and the two superpowers will get involved.
All right, let's take some calls here for you as well. Mark in Albany, Georgia. Welcome to the show, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just haven't been listening, but I just called because Vernon, you did a reading for me about 7 months ago and you are right on. And this is basically a shout out to say, anybody that is thinking about giving this guy any kind of, business, I'm telling you, he was right on. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that I was able to get a reading
for
him.
You.
I paid for
Thank
an
you.
Hour. He gave me two. It was
a great
Thank
deal.
I appreciate that.
When you give a reading, Vernon, what do you do? How do you do it long distance? People send you a picture of their palm or what?
Yeah, I ask people to send me photocopies of their hands. And it's interesting, George, I also ask for photos over, the iPhone. And if I print them out, I see everything astrologically. But I like the photocopies because if I just print them out of the computer, it erases my intuition. But if I get photocopies, I get that intuition. So I need both. So I like the photocopies in my hand, and I like to look at the photos, too. That's how I do it. But having said that, I can see everything through just a photo. All the planets, all the signs, all the houses, everything's in the hand. It's a roadmap. It's an absolute roadmap. And I like to navigate that with them and take that journey with them into their life purpose. And what I see in a person's hand is a lot of times, just like a tree, George, the roots of the tree are more important than the tree itself. They're the root system. So the root system of us is our previous lives. And sometimes I don't need to go back more than two or three lives to see where a person's going. But let's say someone had an interest in being a pianist in a previous life, or maybe they had taken up the piano for three or four lifetimes. In this life, they're going to beg their parents for a piano. And they may even become famous. So life is a continuum. So when you're looking at a hand, you're basically looking at the roots of their tree, where they came from, what their desires were, what they wanted, what they didn't achieve, what they want to achieve in this life. And so as the tree grows, it's very much mirrors the roots.
Well, so, here's something interesting, though, Vernon. In reincarnation, yeah. Which you believe in and I believe in, is the palm the same as the person who lived 200 years ago, got reincarnated? Does the palm print stay the same?
Oh, it changes lifetime to lifetime, George.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Oh, yes, especially if you look at somebody, what they were doing, let's say, three lifetimes ago. Let's just say somebody was a violin maker maybe three or four lifetimes ago. They probably have no interest in doing that anymore. they may want to become a baseball player or something. But the hand definitely explains and expresses that they were an artisan of that nature, and then they maybe it got satisfied in them. And so whatever we think of, whatever we desire and whatever we deserve, we get that in the next life. What the planets don't force anything. All they do is they open windows for us. The planets don't impel. What they do is they open windows for us. If we have a particular desire, let's say, to be a baseball player or a talk show host, and we have it strong enough, the planets move into certain places, and so they allow that to happen. And similarly, if we have struggles and difficulties and obstacles, it's not meant for our suffering. It's meant for our purification. And that's why I know that there's a God.
Oh yeah.
The thing is, if you're young children are chastised by their parents, they're chastised because the parents love them. So we're chastised sometimes by the laws of material nature because our desires aren't correct and we're not doing what we should be doing. But the thing is, life is a continuum, George, and you can see how the soul is evolving and changing.
Are you still there? I think we lost Vernon.
Oh.
No, Vernon, there you are.
Yeah. Suffering, George, is simply purification. It just purifies the soul. So if we have that attitude that this is for my purification, this is for my betterment, this is for my conscious advancement, more than just, oh, I'm suffering, people are out to get me, or God wants to get me, that I see in hands, it doesn't really get anybody anywhere.
All right, to the phones again. Audrey is in New York City, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Audrey.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to make a respectful comment.
Sure,
really,
absolutely.
Just to give you a thought. I accept a lot of the theories of Vernon, and I've never heard of him before. I gather he knows his stuff, and he sounds like an expert of sorts.
He is.
But I can tell you that it was palmistry without a palm print, with all of the lines and the subtleties in the hand, just by holding up a hand on a TV screen or from a newspaper article, there is no way that he can actually make a prediction about it.
All right, let's get him to react to that. She says you have to have a print.
And thank you for that comment. I don't make predictions. What I do is I let people know what is their life purpose, what is their exact career, what are they born to do. I don't make predictions. That's for the fortune teller. I let a person know what are your emotions, what is your psychology, how to better navigate this world. If you look at a photo of a palm, you can clearly see the lines. You can clearly see the fingerprints. You can, for instance, I'll give you an example. We have 12 segments on our fingers, and each one of those segments represents a what they call in astrology signs: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, like that. And if you look at the different placements and the different configurations on them and the different lines and the different symbols, you can tell which planet is in which sign and is in which house. This is a science. This is not just an intuitive or psychic thing. You do not need to hold a hand. You just need to look at the fingers. In the same way that an astrologer looks at a chart and they see the different planets and different houses and different signs, it's a chart for us. The palm is a chart. So I appreciate that question, but I cannot agree. I've been doing this for 30 years, and it's proved itself to me that I can look at a photo. Now, having said that, there's nothing like, you know, meeting a person and looking at the living hand.
Right. That's the best. Right. That's the ideal.
That's the best. But having said that, George, there's no loss in demnition if you know what you're doing.
How many great palm readers are there out there, Vernon?
There's about, I would say, that I know of, maybe 4,000 palmists out there. I would say there's about, I can count the number of good palmists on one hand that I think.
On one hand, I like that.
Yep. Yeah, having said that, I really do believe palmistry is making inroads. It's coming back to its dignity and respect. But there are very good palmists out there, but I'm talking about the professionals, the one that's really know what they're doing. I would say there's five. But you know what? In any career, in any occupation, that's the way it's always. There's always going to be standout people.
And you can teach this to other people?
I love teaching it. Palmistry is the most fascinating art. It's the most fascinating thing to teach, because not only are you helping people to understand who they are, you're able to teach people, other people, to help other people. The hand is the mirror of the soul. The hand, when you're teaching this, people come away from the class saying, wow, I understand myself better. I have better clarity and insight. To me, the hand is the best tool for self-realization, because it combines a hard science of astrology with intuition. And even if someone was to look at the hand, you know, just from the astrological point of view and not even use intuition, they can give an incredible reading. But even the most scientific, if you will, hand readers, over time, the hand lends itself to intuition. So palmists grow intuitive as they continue to look at the hand. This is a metaphysical science, and the soul expresses itself through the agency of the hand. So you're going to get intuitive by looking at the hand.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Rochester, New York now. Hi, Kevin, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning, Kev. Good.
And I love the show. I have a quick question. So with reincarnation and all that, if someone was evil in a previous life, would certain hand ailments like carpal tunnel be physical in the next life? And they're off the air.
All right, good. So if somebody was evil, would they have, you know, like hand problems and things like that, Vernon?
That's a great question. Isaac Newton said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And nowhere is that proved more in palmistry. If someone does something bad to somebody, in their next life, they have to suffer their reaction. If someone, let's say, one of the things where we were opening the show talking about politics, one of the things in Eastern palmistry or astrology is that if you take a leadership position, you have to take 1/6 of the karma of all of the people under you, whether you're a mayor, a president, a congressperson, whatever. So if you send people to war, and it's not a good war, quote unquote, and you just make people suffer just for power and economic, you have to suffer for everybody that you had killed, or or were maimed, or have any type of suffering psychologically. That leader has to suffer. In our life, if somebody does something bad to us, I'll give you a great example. If a child, let's say, grows up with no father throughout their entire life, it means in their previous life they didn't father their child. So one would hope that in this life, when they have a kid, they become a father. They break that cycle. So we have to taste the exact same results that we put other people through. If somebody makes us suffer, it's because we put that person in a previous life into suffering of the same nature previously. an equal and opposite reaction. This is karma. Karma means action and reaction. So there's no such thing as somebody just suffering for no reason. Similarly, the lottery is the same way. This is action and reaction. If someone was very philanthropic in a previous life, they gave a lot of money, planted trees, opened hospitals, they did a lot of good work. They get in their next life, the state has to give back that money or that return. So there's nothing arbitrary about this. Somebody wins a lottery or they're helped by the community. This is the state giving back the wealth that they gave in a previous life. So if we're suffering as a result of other people's, let's say, dictates, it's because we directly put that person into suffering ourselves. So the best mode of operation is just to be tolerant, be humble, and let it go. Because if you continue to perpetrate that, you'll just continue the crime. In other words, if a child doesn't learn and they don't become a good parent, they become an absent parent again, then they have to taste the results in their next life again. So really, what suffering does, it's kind of like a goldsmith who's using their tools to make the gold very, very to shape it and make it very strong. So suffering can make us humble. It can make us tolerant. It can open our eyes to what we're doing wrong, you see.
All right. Skype is open, by the way, at George97313, our special guest, Vernon Mahabal, as we talk about palm reading. Where can we get your books, Vernon? They're still available, right?
Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm working on a new one. It'll be out by March.
Let's go to Tommy in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
All is well.
Hey, all right. Hey, Vernon, I was trying to ask you, how do you find a good palm reader? How do you find a good tarot?
Good question. How do you find a good one, an honest one, Vernon?
Yes. First of all, one reason that palmistry and astrology are becoming a lot, the breeders are becoming better is because the public is becoming more discriminative. So if there's a public that wants good readers, then the readers will have to move up to that position. So how do you know a good palmist? Do they teach? Ask other palmists, ask other readers, look at what they've done. Have they written a book? Have they done lectures and workshops? Do they teach other palmists? In other words, look at what they've done. That's how you know. If someone's just reading at a psychic fair or at the local crystal shop, you're probably not a good reader. Or maybe they're just coming up. They're up and coming, and that's good too. You have to start somewhere. And, you know, I started at the psychic fairs, and I started at the crystal readers, you know, type of thing. But at the same time, if you want to find a good palmist, ask other palmists. Is this person good? Is she good? Look at their books. Have they written books? Do they teach? What's their credibility amongst other readers? That's how you do it. And referrals are everything in this business.
Yeah, they sure have. Give us your website, Vernon.
PalmistryInstitute.com. Palmistry Institute.
Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
No.
You're not doing that yet?
Nah.
Come on, you got to do that.
George, I don't have the time for Facebook.
Now, will you accept people to send in photographs of their hands for you?
Yeah, I do that all the time. They just have to call me and tell me they're going to send in their photos, and I do that all the time.
That's great. And you don't hold back, do you? I mean, if you see something bad, you tell them?
George, I'm from New York, so I'm very straightforward and direct. But you know what? That brings up a good question, George. I'm glad that you asked that. Sometimes people ask me, what do you see when you see something bad on a hand? You know what's bad on a hand, George? When a person's with the wrong partner, when they're living in the wrong place, when they're in the wrong job.
Ooh, but you have to look at both hands then, hers and his or whatever, right?
No. It's not really, because the hands, you know, we're emotional by nature. The soul is inherently emotional. So if someone's been with another partner for at least, let's say, 6 months, you can see everything.
That's interesting. Okay, we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, George Norrie, with you along with Vernon Hubble as we talk about palm reading. Fascinating. And are you still running the Palmistry Institute in L.A., Vernon?
Yes, I'm in L.A.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the phones again. We've got John in Canada on the international line. Hey, John, go ahead.
Bartholomew.
Hey, they call him Bartholomew. That's right.
How'd you guess?
Good, John. Go ahead.
That's good. Two things. All the lines in my palms,
mm-hmm.
they're all very, very long. To the one from your index finger to your small finger.
All right. And what about your other question?
Well, the other one, it was just a state, I was going to say, quickly to Tommy, but don't expect that fella to come in or phone in or whatever.
Julian Assange?
Pardon?
It's a strange week. He hasn't popped up yet. Well, what about long lines, Vernon?
Yes,
what does that
yes.
mean?
So lines are the chakra systems. They're actually not that important. When people think of palmistry, most people think of the lines. But actually, to a professional, they're not that important. They maybe form maybe 5 or 6% of my reading. Just like highways, a long highway shows it took a lot of money and a lot of concrete to build it. So, if there's a long line, it means that there's a lot of something in your hand. For instance, the middle transverse line is sometimes called the line of the head or the mental line or the line of mentality. So, if it's very long, it means that a person is very thoughtful and contemplative. And if it's shorter, it shows that a person is more of a see it, do it type of person. Not too much contemplation or reflection, but just an action person. So the longer, for instance, the upper transverse line is called the line of emotion or the heart line. So the longer the line, the more the person stays within the world of emotions and feelings. Life for them is how they feel rather than they think. So a shorter upper transverse line or a heart line will just basically show a person's a little bit more emotionally reserved and maybe more logical and analytical than staying in the emotional zone. But lines are important, but they're not that important.
All right, let's go to South Dakota. Trish is with us now. Trish, you're on with Vernon. Go ahead.
Does having arthritis alter a palm reading?
Does having
Absolutely
arthritis?
Not.
Nothing.
No.
Go ahead.
No. No, and I kind of briefly want to say something about arthritis.
Sure.
I want to say this very lightly, and I want to tread lightly here. Arthritis, according to hand analysis, has to do with being inside of a box. In other words, the mind thinks something and then it's earthed. In other words, what we see on people's hands is that if you're stressed or you're in anxiety, it becomes earthed. So much of health trends begin in the mind. So arthritis generally is a case of the mind stiffening. You see. So I would say if a person has arthritis, think differently. Get out of the box. Don't get stuck in routine, that type of thing. So I just want to mention that in a very light way. The idea here is that in palmistry or even astrology, I would say, George, maybe 80% of our health problems begin in the mind. They're not organic. It's not like we have to get them. I mean, in other words, we're in the material world, so we're going to get sick. But at the same time, so many of our difficulties start in the mind, and then they're earthed, if you will. So,
Vernon, there's no question that I think people are acting stranger, crazier, whacked out now than ever before. How come?
Okay, there's a very good reason for that, because there's 5% of this population who that are called in the Eastern world called the Rakshasas or the Rakshashi, and in the Western world they call them reptilians.
Uh-huh.
So if you have people who are running this world who have they're psychopaths. They have no compassion. I mean, I don't know anyone who wants war. Do you know anyone who wants war? No, Nobody wants war.
I know some people who want war, and these are people you don't want to be associated
exactly,
with.
Exactly. So we have leaders who are, let's say, have no compassion, no empathy. So because of that, everybody underneath suffers. If we had God-conscious leaders, or if not just God-conscious, if we had people who were moral, who had vision, who had ideals, who had standards, then everything would change, because people follow their leaders. And if the leaders are good, the people become good. If the leaders are bad, the population, by way of routine, become bad. So we have a 5%, you know, I hate to say elitist, but really they're not elitist. They're just the lowest of mankind. In the Vedic world, they're called Rakshasa, and it ultimately means people who have no care for the sufferings of humanity. So that's why people are in anxiety. If we have good leaders, if we have moral leaders, if we had leaders who had character, the people would follow that. But I will say, this is also what I do, George, is a metaphysical thing. And the reason that the humanity is attracting these leaders is because, for instance, alcohol. If people would just stop drinking, if people would just stop eating, they would eat less meat. If people would have less illicit sex and have stronger relationships, they would, these vibrations and these vibrations would go into the ether, and we would attract what they call in the Vedic world the Raj Rishi. That means a saintly person who is also a political type person. In 5,000 years ago on this planet, the kings and the queens were saintly people. They could control their senses. They could control their minds. They didn't have so much lust and greed and desire for power and control. And the reason is because the population, they were sane, because they didn't drink that. They didn't drink. They didn't eat too much meat. They understood the principles of God consciousness. So what if we have a, if it's said in the Vedic literature, and I'm not going to give the Sanskrit here, but it's said that a bad population attracts bad leaders. So it's the karma of us to have bad leaders. So this is what bad leaders do. They make us immoral. If they can dirty us, then they can have more power and control. Bad leaders can't control good people. Good people, if the people have strong consciousness, meaning that they have morals, they have ethics, they have standards, they will subtly attract good people to rule them. You see, so it's a metaphysical thing. We're not just getting these reptilian leaders for no reason. We're getting them because we have populations that are on drugs, and they're too much drinking and too much meat eating and too much illicit sex. And this attracts vibrationally a demonic leadership.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We go to Charles, truck driving somewhere in Kentucky. Hi, Charles. Go ahead.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good, Charles. Thank you.
My mother, my sister, and me, we have a short, fat thumb on the right hand and a long, skinny thumb on the left hand. I don't know if would that affect your reading, or why do we have different thumbs like that?
Different size thumbs here, Vernon.
a long thumb is someone who's more mental and sometimes more emotional. A shorter thumb is generally someone who's more of a see it, do it type person, a more active, energetic type person. But it's very hard to do a reading over the phone like this unless I saw the hand. But that's the general thing. Long thumbs are on people who are more who are more mental and contemplative, and shorter thumbs are on people who are more active, energetic.
Well, then when you say mental, that could be a good thing.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
Okay.
I mean mental, right, as in logical, analytical, thoughtful.
All right. Let's go to Robin in Utah. Hey, Robin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. What does it indicate when you got a ton of lines? On my left hand, I got parallel lines, like all over the three main lines on my palm. I got parallel line that runs on the top, and it just intersects right there by the pinky. And I mean, each one of my finger joints has about 4 to 5 lines. Would you be able to determine a reading from having so many lines like that?
Oh, absolutely. The interesting thing, sir, is that the more lines that a person has, the more options are available to them. In other words, the more lines, the more talents and abilities you have. The problem here is that which ones to do. Whereas if a person has maybe the 3 or 4 basic lines, they tend to be able to focus on what they're good at. They know what they like to do and they do it. So sometimes having a more simple linear pattern is more advantageous. But when you have lots and lots of different lines and it looks like a spider web all over your hands, it means that from previous lives, you've done many things. You've had a lot of talents and abilities and potentials, but the negative aspect is that you don't know sometimes which to do, and sometimes it's hard to focus. Having a spiderweb of lines is great, especially if you're working in a career and you need to look at things with a different angle or a different perspective.
Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Dustin is with us. Go ahead, Dustin.
Hi, I have a question and a quick story.
All right.
So the question is how did you find out that you were first psychic? And the quick story is I went to one of those psychic fairs, and I actually started reading one of the psychics and lightning hit. Does that mean anything?
Okay. Yeah,
but you're not psychic, Vernon, are you?
Well, I don't even like to put myself into the psychic category, George. I think so much of what goes on in that psychic world is a fraud. I'm not saying psychic stuff doesn't exist. Obviously, it does. But I would put myself more as intuitive, and I'll explain it to you this way. The first, I grew up. A long time in New York, and I would see, you know, the psychic reader, the tarot reader, and this and that. So when I was coming up the ranks, I simply wanted to look at the palm from the astrological level, because I was really frustrated by what I saw with the so-called the psychic reader, the tarot reader, like that. So I read the palm for 10 years, 15 years, just looking at the astrology of it all. And then, I visited a reader once in Sedona, and she told me, she gave me a kick in the pants. She just said, look, you're intuitive and you're not letting it through, so let it through. So after that, I just said, you know, she's right. She's absolutely right. So I would say that if you combine astrology with intuition, what intuition does is that you're able to read around the planets, if you will. For instance, the astrology is like, this is the kind of house you live in. And the intuitive aspect is, what kind of furniture is in that house? So the idea here is, I don't like to put myself in that psychic world, because, like I said, I think so much of what goes on there is fraudulent. But having said that, I am an intuitive reader, but I will only if I get an intuition, I try to back it up by what the planets say. So there's a checks and balances there. If you look at somebody's, let's say, if you can see that somebody's a painter, sometimes your intuition can say, oh, this person should work more with acrylics than oil. Your intuition helps to deepen the reading. I only use my intuition to back up what the hard science of astrology says.
Okay, let's take Marcus in Indiana, first-time caller. Marcus, thank you. Go ahead. Marcus, are you there? Well, Marcus, we're going to have to let you go. Oh, well. Let's pretend he was going to ask you a question about palm reading. So since you've been doing this, and you started at a very young age, what would you say that you have a student, like a grasshopper, who really picked up on this?
Myself, you mean?
That you trained, yeah.
You know, that's different students get different things from you. And when I was first starting to teach, I was that idealistic person that wanted to, everybody I taught, I wanted to make them professional palmists like me. But what I've seen in my life is that most people who take my courses, they add palmistry to their discipline. For instance, the psychologist may use palmistry in their work, or the holistic practitioner will use palmistry in their work. So it is sometimes harder to find that person who's going to make it their life. But that may happen in the future, hopefully.
All right, let's take another call. Angie in Long Beach, California. Angie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
This is great getting through, and I love you, George Norrie.
Thank you.
Listen, I have a question about my son's finger. One finger on the hand, the middle finger, has like a fatty, lumpy, toward the palm area. I just thought it was fatty tissue or something. And then I had noticed that my father-in-law had the same exact thing on the same hand, same finger. And I don't know what something like that means, if it does mean anything.
All right, well, about a minute left, Vernon. Go ahead.
I would say to you that any problems, and I can't really just tell you what it is, just talking about it, but I would say any problems that happen to that finger have to do with issues of security and stability. There's issues of finances or issues of security or stability or foundations in there. It could be financial, it could be family, it could be anything, but issues of security and stability.
All right, Vernon, I want to thank you for being on the program. And as usual, you are our resident palmist.
Thank you, George. I love you.
Okay, and best. You take care of yourself, all right?
You're the best, George. Thank you so much.
All right, keep in touch with us, to be sure. Well, still, nothing from Julian Assange about whatever he was going to leak. And we do have a link up at coasttocoastam.com. They have had some speakers pop up, a moderator, an attorney, a couple journalists from Germany, because this announcement is coming via video through Berlin, his lawyer, but still nothing from Julian, so we don't have it. But it is up at coasttocoastam.com. There is a link there for you that Lex has put up there, so grab it. You can watch it. If not, whatever he says will probably be news in the morning when you wake up. We'll see what happens as we take on the day, day by day. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Don't forget beyondbelief.com and paranormaldate.com, and just enjoy yourself. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.